I'm John Lennon in Lviv, and this is CNN.
I'm Blake Guitar, and watch the news.
This is CNN Breaking News.
Good morning. Welcome to our viewers in the United States and all around the world. It is Wednesday, March 23rd. It is 5 a.m. here in New York. I'm Laura Jarrett.
And Christine Roman, John Berman, is in Lviv, Ukraine. John?
Good morning to both of you. So east of here, near Ukraine's capital, the Pentagon says the Ukrainian forces are now on the offensive, trying to take back territory. New video of an intense firefight that happened just a short time ago between Ukrainian and Russian troops near Kyiv. Ukraine's forces say they have made some headway north and west of the capital. Russian forces there still stalled with some suffering frostbite because they lack cold weather gear. New satellite images show more fires and destruction across the besieged city of Mariupol to the south. The U.S. defense official says Russia has begun firing from ships in the Sea of Azov. Just a few hours from now, President Biden heads to Brussels. He will depart the United States to meet with NATO leaders, and we've now learned he will announce new sanctions there. Let's begin, though, with the very latest here in Ukraine. I'm joined by CNN's Phil Black. And Phil, we are seeing this clear effort by the Ukrainians to take the fight to the Russians.
A real effort to regain territory that they have lost. We've seen that in the capital of Makariv, west of Kyiv, but also in the eastern country, Izium, and in the south, the Son, the Kalayev. This is according to U.S. Department of Defense officials who describe the Ukrainian fight. It is as agile, nimble, fighting very hard. And you get a real sense of that from some of that video that you just saw, which shows this intense firefight. Near the capital, just northeast of there, to the train station, a small band of Ukrainian defenders.
I don't like this war coverage, it's like so vague. I can't tell what's going on. I can't confirm if what they're saying is true. Seems like it's not true most of the time. Seems like they're just guessing.
On the Black Sea, off the coast of Crimea, firing a volley of cruise missiles.
I don't know, a lot of them are guessing, it sounds like.
Potentially
the Pentagon is guessing about Russia's motivations and objectives. Because they keep saying, I think, like Mr. Kirby and Mr. Austin, and I think.
Such as the siege, but
they use different language if they knew. They're trying to get themselves in the
help
for saying something that's not true.
There is more destruction and devastation every day, but what those images don't show is what's happening on the ground, the suffering of the people who are hiding.
It looks pretty obvious what they're trying to do, really.
We also understand that
they've been pretty straightforward with it. I just think they've been a little dishonest about telling us how great the Ukrainian army is, and how great the Ukrainian government is, and stuff like that. I think they have a lot of their own issues. So I don't think they're great fighters. I think a lot of other fighters are fighting with them, and they're using really good weapons. So,
and the Russians are still
desperate to try and kill some momentum,
take some of their key military goals. This is not a position that many would
predict. 10 million people have been displaced.
It is really not just what's happening in Mariupol. I was speaking to the deputy mayor there yesterday. I asked him, is there anything that gives you hope? And he wouldn't or couldn't.
It's weird. It's like they want to give Americans or the West a certain narrative to feel a certain way about this.
Mario Zablosky, a member of the Ukrainian Parliament, who joins us from somewhere in western Ukraine. Thank you so much for being with us right now. There really are two stories happening in your country, in this country. Number one, in Kyiv, this effort to take the fight to the Russians. Ukrainian forces trying to retake territory. At the same time, civilians suffering so much. Where do you see things this morning?
Well, from military standpoint, we are attacking these relatively small groups who want to go out and fight, and these are basically tank hunting groups. So there isn't a large-scale offensive per se, but just a lot of these groups working and having quite a significant effect on the Russian forces. On several lines around Kyiv, Russian forces have actually been pushed back several thousand kilometers away, and at some positions they are almost surrounded. humanitarian standpoint, we continue to hear more about Russian atrocities. We hear that from intercepted communications of Russian soldiers with the families. Unfortunately, the picture is much worse than the pictures of destroyed buildings. Russian soldiers are often with concussion for killing civilians, children, raping people, torturing people in a very graphic manner. And there is growing anger amongst us for the crimes that they committed.
Horrible situations for so many people, trapped in some cases, where they are. I know you have concern about food for people trapped in some of these cities inside Ukraine, but also the global food chain at large.
Of course, Ukraine exported around 80% of wheat and sunflower that we always do. So Ukraine was feeding more than 200 million people. Ukraine was always a grain exporting country. Apart from the food crisis which is happening due to war in Ukraine, especially in the rich cities, food prices around the world have skyrocketed to new record highs. So in relating to U.S. consumers, inflation I know is already record high in the United States. And because Russia has blocked the export of grain from Ukraine, it will still go higher. And unfortunately, around the world, very few people will suffer greatly because Russia has implemented a civil case on a vessel and it has not captured it. And unfortunately, this year, millions will lack food and will call
it. Ukrainian MP forecasts food crisis later this year.
That's not good.
And apparently, they make a lot of wheat, they grow wheat in Ukraine and export it all over the world. So some people in faraway countries are having wheat shortages now.
New legislation which benefits our countries. Currently in Ukraine, due to the war, we are implementing the most free tax fixation possible. So we are eliminating all taxes on the imports. So we eliminated the import tax on all companies because in many cases businesses are implementing. And we're giving a lot of things to the out. The personal level of my wife is good and she enjoys almost every other day to purchase supplies for the army because it's relatively difficult to get them in Ukraine. And we are fighting so we're in nearly all of Ukraine.
Marian Zelovsky, member of the Ukrainian Parliament, we wish you and your family the best. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
You know, it is interesting where I am, Christina Laura, but this city still will be relatively quiet, people out getting coffee, shopping. In some ways, it's hard to see the war going on here, but then you're reminded when the air raid sirens go off, it's very real.
Absolutely. Right, John. President Biden expected to announce a new round of sanctions today against Russia after he arrived in Belgium. The target members of Russia's parliament. The U.S. has already sanctioned some members of the Duma, but the upcoming announcement will expand that list.
One of the key elements of that announcement will focus not just on adding new sanctions, but on ensuring that there's been an effort to crack down on the invasion and sanctions busting on any attempt by any country to help Russia basically undermine, weaken, or get around the sanctions.
President Biden expected to announce those new sanctions on Thursday. For more on this, we're now joined by CNN National Security Analyst Sean Turner. John, nice to see you this morning. Appreciate you getting up bright and early with us. Let's start here with this trip to Europe. What do you think that the president needs to accomplish? What's the main objective?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me this morning. I think the president has two objectives on this trip. The first deals with the sanctions that we just talked about. The president is very concerned whether those sanctions are particularly strong. Other sanctions, we don't know all the details yet, but those sanctions are the sanctions that not only get at Putin and those people who influence him, but also that make those people feel the pain a little bit more. As I said previously, we've got to continue to squeeze through, we've got to continue to make sure that it's not just about the oligarchs, it's not just about them, but it's about all those around them who can put that pressure on them to change behavior. But I think there's something else, and I think it's arguably more important. You know, the president needs to have a bunch of official meetings on this trip, but on the margins of those official meetings, I think the president needs to talk to our European leaders and European allies about how we deal with Putin once the dust settles. You know, and more importantly, how we deal with Putin if he decides to escalate this conflict through some kind of
soon invited Travis Sear for global summits on Russia. Sounds like an okay idea. They're just going to talk about what to do. Looks like the U.S. is the only country that has banned Russian energy imports. And, I was surprised when I found out if the country was banned out here. It's like Canada or some other thing. Actually, I'm not certain that Canada does get very well. But I'd be surprised if it didn't.
Up next for you, Ukrainian refugees forced to make split-second decisions with their lives on the line.
So there's some countries that still do business with Russia. They're pretty predictable. And I saw a list of companies that still do business with Russia. And they're pretty predictable. At least the American ones. About 75% of the list I saw, I think it was about 50 countries. I mean, companies. There are American companies still doing business in Russia. Oh, I don't know, I've already found, like, I know Marriott was one of them, and, everyone's got a commercial right now, so I'm not going to comment on the commercials. Actually, I don't know. Stories about it. I just got this guitar back about maybe a month or so ago, so my fingers are still getting the calluses. They've kind of always had some calluses, and I had an acoustic before this, so it wasn't like I had nothing. Sounds like sports today.
Thank you.
More than 3.5 million Ukrainians have fled the country, and many want to leave their homes. And only meant moments to gather their most precious belongings. What do you take, not knowing if you're ever going to return? CNN's Sana Abdulaziz spoke to refugees and joins us now with these stories.
Life changed in an instant for these families, forced to flee their homes as Russian troops invaded. But what do you take with you as you run? What is your most precious possession? For 11-year-old Victoria, it's her beloved teddy bear. She's outgrown him, but he's just the right size for her little sister.
Oh, it's for Valeria, but it's her favorite toy, it's her bear.
It was mine, and now it's hers, she tells me. When she's crying a lot, she cuddles him at night. Tatiana coughed as the sound of explosions grew closer and closer to her family's home in Kyiv.
What is the most precious thing you took?
This is me and my father.
When I was gathering my stuff, I knew I needed to take them, she told me. It's the only album with my dad's pictures in it. Her father died when she was six, but pictures of his smile. Peaceful sky again. A dream shared by the many victims of this senseless war.
What was astounding was just how much hope there was despite how terrible the circumstances are. Each one of those families, I said, are you going to be able to They said, no, we're going to stick it out. We're going to wait. We believe we're going to win. We believe we're going to go home. And even a month into this war, to still hold on to that optimism. Especially those young children who now understand what it means when someone says, you have to run to the home.
What a lovely, heartbreaking piece. And I was just going to say, talking about what they were bringing, the most important thing they bring with them is hope. And that's what they have to hold on to more than anything. Some of those things, thank you so much for that. Laura, Christine, back to you.
What a great piece. Especially, John, since we were just talking 4 weeks ago, right? We were talking to people on the streets of Kyiv and all over Ukraine who weren't convinced a war was coming. They were going about their daily lives. And then they have to all of a sudden leave home, grab the important things, and leave. Just thank you so much for that great piece.
Also breaking overnight, homes ripped from their foundations as a deadly tornado strikes New Orleans. We have details for you next.
Commercials on both channels. Субтитры сделал DimaTorzok.